The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
You're listening to Fresh FM. I'm Chrissy Small presenting Stranded in Paradise from the book by John Dix. In this show, you'll be hearing stories and songs from the history of New Zealand rock and roll from 1955 through to 1988.
Kia ora, this is John Dix. I'm the author of Stranded in Paradise, and you're listening to Fresh FM.
For quite some time, you've been crossing lines as you grow. You see, I worry. Maybe someday you'll be crossing mine. It's so hard to see you so far away. I can't tell just what's happening.
The Knobs with Open Your Eyes. In this week's episode of Stranded in Paradise, we're on the chapter The Sounds of the South. Of course, we finished the last episode where the Knobs disbanded in 1982 after a failed attempt to expose themselves in Australia across the Tasman. Well, the Knobs' success did little to convince serious rock fans that there was anything important happening down in Dunedin, or that Toy Love hadn't been an oddity. George Kay's Rip It Up Rumours column spoke of great things, but he had to say that, Kay's column was an important publicity outlet for the Dunedin groups, but few readers outside the district probably read it. Dunedin? The Knobs, right? Until 1981, there was little reason for outsiders to take a particular interest in the Dunedin scene. A Dunedin rock column. Ha! Why not a Tikuiti rock column? Another local rock writer was Roy Colbert, or Colbert, a Rip It Up contributor and secondhand record store owner who covered the local scene for the Evening Star, an archivist with a vast record collection and an encyclopedic knowledge of rock. Colbert influenced many young musicians around town. Most of the younger rock and roll hopefuls around Dunedin got to know Roy Colbert. Congregating at his shop, they learnt that there was more to the 60s than the Beatles, Dylan and Rolling Stones. The Byrds and Velvet Underground were obvious starting points, but how about the Electric Prunes? The 13th Floor Elevators, Moby Grape, Psychotic Reaction, Incredible String Band, Searchers, Seeds, Barbarians, the acclaimed Esoteric. Many a young Dunedin musician found inspiration in Colbert's record collection. The Dunedin scene began to take shape in 1979. The Enemy had departed and evolved into Toy Love. London SS had fallen by the wayside and the Clean had travelled north to try their hand. Throughout the year, a new generation of bands came through, headed by Board Games and The Same. And then there was the Heavenly Bodies. Originally known as the BOFs, Boring Old Farts, the Heavenly Bodies was formed by Mick Dawson in July 1978. Dawson was still with the Enemy at the time, but was growing frustrated at Knox's domination.
Some scare.
And that was the song Pull Down the Shades by Toy Love. And this next song is a song by the Heavenly Bodies called Back Home. How's this for a bit of nostalgia?
Right. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, it's a home, and then I'm back a fourth and while it
will.
And then I'm back for fourth and while I'm
well,
and I don't believe in before what anymore. No, I can't believe it's true. I say you don't, I say you do. I'll turn around to find that you're not there. No, I can't believe it's true.
To include a few 60s gems in the Enemy's repertoire, but Knox was adamant that the band play exclusively original material. The Heavenly Bodies was Dawson's reaction. He gathered around him like-minded mates, Kim Barron, vocals, Miles White, guitar, and Neil Dobbier, drums. And over the next 2 months, through to the Enemy's departure, the quartet played a dozen or so gigs. It was all good fun, and people of all ages enjoyed them. But when Dawson disappeared up north, the Heavenly Bodies was no more. In 1979, back in Dunedin, Dawson reformed the band because of his Enemy connection. The group was banned from the Cook, and a residency at the Prince of Wales was cut short following management complaints over volume. The band's gigs were mostly at social club bun fights, birthday parties, wedding receptions, and self-promoted dances, with occasional mini tours around the Otago Southland provinces. Along the way, the Heavenly Bodies picked up a reputation for a raunchy repertoire of 60s covers and Dawson originals. The group also became renowned for an on-stage bickering which often exploded into violence. In October 1979, a second guitarist was added, Bevan Hudson, but still the internal hassles continued. Somehow the group stayed together until September 1980, when Dawson moved to Sydney. busking around King's Cross, returning to Dunedin in May 81 to join Broken Models. 6 months later, he concluded that there was more money to be made in the King's Cross subway. The Heavenly Bodies managed to earn the respect of the younger up-and-coming bands, but the group had no great influence on the Dunedin sound. It was more than anyone, the Clean, who defined the burgeoning style. Because of a harsh sound, the early Clean found it difficult securing work around Dunedin, and their public appearances were few. With only a small following, it was an uphill battle. In April 79, Toy Love passed through town. The Clean supported. The band was enthused with Toy Love's Auckland stories, and in May, David Kilgore went up to find out for himself. Returning to Dunedin, he urged the others to pack their bags. There was one dissenter, drummer Lindsay Hook. "I can't work with Peter," he said. "Either he's replaced or I'm leaving." Peter Gutteridge was sacked, and during the extensive period of rehearsal, a friend of Hook's was brought in to help out. Would you believe Ragnarok's Ross Muir? In July, the Kilgore brothers made the 1,300-kilometre hike to Auckland. Hook followed a fortnight later, staying with Toy Love and Grey Lynn. They put the word out for a full-time bassist. In a handful of Toy Love supports, a number of bass players were used. No one slotted in. Hook returned south in September and the Clean just fizzled out. David Kilgore also decided to pack up to Dunedin. Brother Hamish remained in Auckland to team up with ex-Tearaways Peter Mesmer, Chris Orange and Gary Hunt, fronting the short-lived Sobs. That was The Clean with Anything Could Happen. I have another Clean song here for listeners, so tune in. This is that real Dunedin sound. Point That Thing. And back to the Kilgores. Hamish went back to Dunedin in April 1980. Not a great deal had changed during his 9 months away. The most interesting development as far as Hamish was concerned was the emergence of two high school bands, Board Games and The Same. Both groups had been inspired by the punk movement. Neither was to gain widespread support. But the musicians who passed through became important figures on the Dunedin scene, with none more so than Martin Phillips. Now we'll play another clean song called Tally Ho. Born July 2nd, 1963, Phillips was hailed from a musical family. Dad, a church minister, was a member of the Marama Singers. Mum was a cellist, and both Martin and Sister Rachel were thrust into piano lessons. Phillips had little interest in classical music, preferring his guitar and the sounds of David Bowie and Split Enz. His first exposure to live rock and roll was an Enz concert in 1977. But it was his second which was to greatly impress and influence The Enemy, of course. Shortly after, aged 15, he formed his first band with guitarist Jeff Batts, bassist Craig Easton and drummer Paul Beard. The Same didn't play often, just the odd dance, and their tender ages prevented pub gigs. Observers, though, couldn't help but notice their improvement gig by gig. Mixed in with the 60s covers with some impressive originals, Jeff Batts composed The Same's most popular song, Thalidomide Babies, but Phillips possessed the greater melodic sense. And now a favourite of mine by The Chills, Pink Frost.
Thank you.
The advent of the same prompted Phillips's academic decline. Asked to write a biology essay, totally ignorant of the specified subject, he presented a psychedelic epistle which all but signalled the end of his school life. In March 1980, he teamed up with Peter Gutteridge. Didn't quite work out, and the same continued their sporadic gigs, but Phillips's friendship with Gutteridge did yield results. He was introduced to music from the Byrds and other West Coast psychedelic groups. Other people, notably David Pine and the Kilgore brothers, were to further his musical education. By mid-1980, Jeff Batts and Craig Easton had both departed the same, replaced by Martin's sister Rachel on guitar and bassist Jane Dodd. In October, Paul Baird departed and the same went into recess. In December, a new lineup debuted. Phillips and Gutteridge guitars, Rachel Phillips keyboards, Jane Dodd bass, and Alan Haig drums. New band, new name, The Chills. This time, Phillips' songwriting reflected his growing interest in Californian psychedelia, with compositions such as Kaleidoscope World, which we've just heard. Meanwhile, Dunedin's other promising teenage band, Board Games, had also matured since its punky beginnings. Board Games was formed in 1978 by schoolmates Shane Carter on vocals, guitarist Fraser Batts, Wayne Elsey, bass, and drummer Jonathan Moore, all members aged 15 to 16. The group played less than 30 times during their 2.5 year history. Loud and raucous, these kids looked like trouble, but they somehow managed to stick together until May 1981, with only one lineup change. Elsey and Carter fell out in October 1980, and Elsey was replaced by Terry Moore. 12 months after the band broke up, Board Games briefly reformed to record 5 songs for the 4XO studio, resulting in the Flying Nun EP, Who Killed Colonel Mustard?
You think you're so justified in being so vain. You heard what she likes, so that's what you portray. And you think you're winning, oh, at least that's in your mind. When you finally get what you had thought that you had left behind, and then the showman comes along and you're wasting your time. Why? Bridesmaid again. Bridesmaid again. Bridesmaid again. I'm lucky you. But I need someone for what the cravings will allow. I got aces to play, but the fucking cup is stacked. And I can't accept what people seem to think I really lack. And the only thing I can accept is the cold bow. I'm bridesmaid again. Bridesmaid again. Bridesmaid again.
And that was Board Games with Bridesmaid. There were other teenage Dunedin bands between 1979 and 1980, but it was Board Games and the same that remained the most important, serving as a training ground for the later acts like The Stones, The Lanes, Double Happies and The Chills. At the beginning of the 80s, there was an interesting little-known underground movement fermenting in Dunedin. All the burgeoning scene required for closer national attention was a charge. Re-enter the Clean. When Hamish Kilgore returned from Auckland in April 1980, Brother David was flatting with Robert Scott, a Mosgiel lad who just happened to write some very stylish songs. Hamish was impressed, and in May, the Clean was reformed. David Kilgore, guitar, Hamish drums, and Scott on bass, with all three sharing songwriting and vocal duties. Pub managers soon made their intentions clear, and it was Sunday afternoon self-promoted dances at the Coronation Hall where the group made its name. By year's end, the Clean was the hottest band in town. None of the trio were particularly good singers, but that didn't matter, as with the playing. The vocals possessed as much passion as a rock fan could hope to stumble upon. The Clean, Dunedinites would tell you, is the best band in the country. Christchurch punters soon agreed, and Roger Shepherd was so convinced that the Clean had enormous potential, he offered to release a single. Following a moderately successful Auckland visit in mid-1981, the Clean, with Martin Phillips on keyboards, ventured into Arnold Van Bussel's Christchurch studio and recorded Tally Ho. Released in August with a live Platypus on the flip, The Clean's debut single spent 7 weeks in the charts. In September, the band tripped north again and on their return south settled in Christchurch. While in Auckland, the group had recorded 5 songs with the Hood Knox team. The Boodle 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 EP was released in November, putting Flying Nun in business with a surprisingly crisp sound. Boodle 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 is a landmark in Kiwi rock. 5 great songs perfectly capturing a band at the height of its powers. Tally Ho was the taster. Boodle 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 was the king hit. Billy Two, Thumbs Off, Anything Could Happen, Sad Eyed Lady and Point That Thing Somewhere Else. No 2 tracks were alike and no duds. And that was Anything Could Happen off the Boodle 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 album by The Clean. Boodle was a big commercial success. 6 months on the charts. Mainstream artists were unsettled by this development. The damn thing was recorded in an empty hall. Here was this group studiously avoiding high tech and they were amassing the type of sales few local acts could compete with. To add insult to injury, The Clean also extended this towards live performances, travelling the country with just the basics, no giant PA, no 4-man road crew, and, as a consequence, only minimal overheads, and the crowds were flocking to see them. It just wasn't fair. In May 1982 came another 12-inch EP, Great Sounds Great. If there were any doubts about The Clean's popularity, they were immediately dispelled. The EP entered the charts at number 4, displaying an even greater variety of styles than on Boodle. The record indicated a new direction with Robert Scott filling out the sound with keyboards. It came as a big shock when shortly after its release, The Clean announced that they were disbanding. Always anti-star, the critical acclaim mixed with the burden of constant touring and audience expectation led to the decision. Actually, they didn't break up overnight, they merely wound down, performing a handful of gigs over the next few months, farewelling at Dunedin's Captain Cook Tavern in November, a fourth record, Getting Older, released in August, failed to reach the heights of its predecessors, and a 1983 cassette, Oddities, was for the hardcore only. In August 1983, the Kilgores released a Flying Nun album credited to the Great Unwashed entitled Clean Out Our Minds. In October, David Kilgore replaced Shane Carter in the Cartilage family and featured guitarist Peter Gutteridge. And when the Kilgore brothers decided to tour the country as the Great Unwashed, Gutteridge was hauled in to share guitar, bass, vocal duties. The Cartilage family disbanded and the Great Unwashed attempted to pick up where the Clean had left off. The Great Unwashed took to the road in December with a low-key tour, primarily aimed at teenagers, playing parks, halls and other alternative venues. Turnouts were predictably good, but from the beginning, the Great Unwashed never intended to be a full-time band, and back in the South Island, the Kilgores remained in Christchurch with Gutteridge living in Dunedin, journeying up for the group's occasional gigs. In April 84, Flying Nun released The Great Unwashed, a dubious single, five songs in all. A much more cohesive collection than the debut release, and one which displayed Gutteridge as the dominant songwriter. In mid-84, a fourth member was drafted, Ross Humphreys, late of the Pin Group. With much instrument swapping, the Great Unwashed continued their periodic performances throughout the year, sometimes as a trio, other times as a quartet. At year's end, they went into recess. The Clean's national success had created greater interest in Dunedin rock, but the one event which focused closer attention came with the release of the Dunedin double EP, released in June 82, for Dunedin bands The Chills, Sneaky Feelings, Stones and Verlaines, contributed three songs each, four from the Stones. None of the bands portrayed common musical interests, but all possessed a common attitude, the anti-star, anti-tech outlook typified by the Clean. Thanks for tuning in to Fresh FM and Stranded in Paradise. I'm going to leave you now with The Chills and Heavenly Pop Hit. And that, of course, was The Chills with one of what I would consider their best songs, probably most commercial songs, I don't know, but certainly haunting. Love it. And what a great group they were. You're listening to Fresh FM here at the top of the South on 107.2 Nelson, 104.8 Nelson Tasman, 95 Takaka, and 88.9 in Blenheim.
Kia ora, this is John Dix. I'm the author of Stranded in Paradise, and you're listening to Fresh FM.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.